something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
We've partnered with GoRV in Canada on a magical, memorable night at Silent Valley.
And I got an exemption into the Ontario Open, buds!
Plus, you'll never guess who just became a father. That's all coming up right now on TNT. Hey, bud.
Hey, bud.
I love it when serendipity comes into play. As you know, we've had some offers over the years of different sponsorships, and it kind of felt like a force fit, or the dough wasn't right, or it felt like we were kind of selling our souls to the devil a little bit, so we opted out. We've done a couple little things with sponsors. But in this case, for so many reasons, all the stars aligned, literally.
Yes.
And we are proud and pleased as punch to share that we have partnered with GoRV in Canada on a special, magical evening at Silent Valley Cottage and RV Resort. Right?
Yes.
It's Saturday, going to be good times. The 24th.
Yeah, Saturday the 24th. It's actually, well, we're gonna hang out. We're gonna play. We're gonna chat. There's some Halloweening going on. It's Halloween day.
Yeah, it's their Halloween party.
Evening.
A lot of campgrounds.
There's actually they set up a Halloween spooky house deal.
There's a haunted
house.
We're
gonna check that out.
So a lot of campgrounds have, like, all summer, they'll have, like, Princess Week or Christmas in July, those kinds of things. So it happens to fall on Silent Valley's Halloween in August party, the night that we're there, which is awesome. So Patrick from GoRV in Canada is actually a bud. So this came about in the most organic and natural of ways. I think, so the legend goes, he brought his dad to a show.
I think so, and well, the bottom line is he listens to the pod and has heard you tell many tales about RVing to various places around North America, and that's probably why it's such a close fit, is this is stuff that you do all the time, and I don't have an RV, but my, you know, jet does, and if I had one, I would do it all the time, because it's, like, definitely the optimal way to see anywhere, to see the country, to see America, to do a little banger rip or rip up to North Bay or anywhere around here. And that my jet just went all the way to PEI and back.
Yeah,
he did all the hot spots. He's never been out east, so he took the fam out there with Doug and Heather, and they ripped across the way. You gave him the PEI itinerary so they could hit all the hot spots in PEI, and he said it was one of the best times he's ever had in his whole life. So I look forward to now that my kids are at that age that are perfect to rip around, I'm in. But let's get some buds out to this on the 24th to sit around the campfire with us.
It's interesting that camping is on the rise in 20-somethings, I think more than any age group. Because for people looking for authentic experiences and for a digital detox and for a chance to kind of do something that's really pretty wholesome. And I've said to you before, if you told me a few years ago we'd be RV people, I would have thought there's no way. It's not really my thing. But this is why I figured out I really like it. If you're at home, even if you're hanging out, there's still a temptation or a pressure to be like, I should probably sort the garage. I should probably whippersnip or vacuum, whatever. When you're camping, the only thing to do is hang.
Yeah.
And there aren't many opportunities in life where you have nothing else to do. And that's the best.
It is. And my kids just got back from camping for the last 2 weeks. And it was cabin styles, but just to have them kind of in that environment where they're away and they have no kind of technology or connection to their friends playing video games or whatever, it really kind of shocks them at the beginning. And there's a moment where they're like, this isn't cool, I can't handle this. Like, as if you took a drug addict, you know, off their drug, and just they really had 2 or 3 days probably of like, this isn't cool, I can't deal with this
withdrawal.
Yeah, like, because when you and I went to a camp place when we were kids, there was always activities. There was more activities than we had at home. But now kids are so kind of connected, and adults too to a certain extent. But when they're in that environment, when it's gone and they're taken away, and they're supposed to just go swim and kayak and canoe and hang out with your bunk mates and talk and converse. And after a while, like, we got a couple of those letters of like, get me out of here. After a while, they made friends, and again, just like you and I for camp and we're kids, like a life-changing experience. Like, if you've never done overnight camping, and then you do it, it's a whole different experience. They went from, this is not happening, get me out of here, to I can't wait to go back next year for 2 weeks.
Oh, really? So they were heavily into it by the end.
Yeah, definitely. How could they not be? You know, 1 week was difficult because they had all of their friends that they just met leave, because most kids are going for one week generally. But there are some kids, like, for example, at Jack and Anna's camp, there was kids that they were all there for all the whole summer for like 3 months, from like Russia, from Hong Kong, from Korea, like all these kids that are just kind of like gone for their whole summer, young kids. That, and it's just kind of a way for them to get, I guess, that opportunity to be in an environment where you can just kind of think for yourself and be with people in a positive way and learn stuff every day. And it's pretty cool.
Well, I know in our case this past week, we went to Bedeck Trail Campground in Cape Breton. Hadn't been there in years. It's actually the campground that I found when Toolsy was here and suggested they could stay there. And
yeah, that's right.
We played catch. We went on canoe trips. Like, we just, it's just a good hang.
He's hooked now. He's hooked now too, Toolsy, right?
I know, and RV Easy makes it easier than ever, because in addition to those places where you can, Fraser Way and places like that, where you can rent RVs, Go RVing Canada is not a place to rent RVs. It's more a resource for people that are interested in camping to find information about campgrounds in your area and, to promote the lifestyle. They call it going back to your wildhood, which is actually a really great phrase. And you know, when you open that door to like, I'm gonna put my phone down and pick up a canoe paddle, it feels great.
Yeah. I'm gonna look at trees.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look at the stars.
that's the other thing, the best part of being out in the middle of nowhere is you actually see how influential and important the night sky is again. You know, when you're looking at it, you just kind of, you start thinking about everything differently when you're looking at water or lakes or ponds. It's one thing, but when you can see the Milky Way, when it's really that dark and the Milky Way is super bright, which is just star after star and everything, it's just you guarantee you see stuff right away, whether it be a ripping some asteroid firing through, or you know, a little satellite ripping by, and then your brain starts going, what the hell's going on? I was up with Jet looking up at the night sky, and it was really dark at the cottage, and I couldn't believe how many there was so much action going. Everywhere we looked, we saw lights flying down and burnouts of what the hell are they called?
Shooting stars?
Shooting stars, yeah. Not asteroids, obviously. Not it's asteroids almost, like, coming out our heads. But shooting stars to the point where I'm like, this is insane. Like, is this a joke right now? Is somebody putting us on? Like, it looked like there was people firing cap guns up there, just ripping back and forth for kicks.
I know. It actually physically blows my mind to look up at the sky for too long. It freaks me out. But I can stare at a campfire for hours, that's for sure.
But if you've never seen it, a lot of people in the city don't have a clue that what it looks like, because you can't see anything. So if you've never gone out of the city, you've never seen the proper roof over your head of the map that, like, that's just there, you know, that clearly I have a great understanding of.
It's bananas. The fire is also a very Tyson intimate setting
over here.
Right? You're sitting around the fire. You would share things that you wouldn't maybe share otherwise. It's a good buzz. It's a good mellow.
Can you do me and you at a campfire and all of a sudden, like, the information's like, what?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good what fire, man.
What a night. Hold my, look at this. Look how bright that is up there.
Yeah. It is.
It's like the sun, but everything's the sun, you know?
Yeah, but it's hard to believe that, like, you know, there could be life on those other planets, you know?
For sure there is. Like, look at how bright that one is, and it's so big. And then there's, like, you see, like, there's just stars up there that you don't even know, and then there's galaxies that are double this size, probably more of those. And then, if you think about it, there's got to be life out there. So much, man.
Pass me the marshmallows, man.
Yeah, here. Good. They're half done. My stomach. My gut hurts, man. I got that sweet guts.
Can I have the graham crackers?
Yeah. Here's some chocolate, too. Man. Look how bright that one is. It's almost red. Is that Vulcan?
Oh, my stick broke. I'm going to go grab another stick for my marshmallow. Another one guy's stick. Super outer spacey and the other guy can't handle it. A couple of specific notes about Saturday the 24th at Silent Valley. Yeah. It's BYOS. Bring your own seats. It's an outdoor show, so the campground encourages people to bring chairs and blankets, etc.
Yeah.
The other thing is, you can't just bum rush the place. You have to RSVP. The link is goRVing.ca/Taggart-and-Torrens. goRVing.ca/Taggart-and-Torrens. And the other thing is, it is going to benefit March of Dimes.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. So it does have a charitable component, which is important to both of us. Kind of a nice thing, you know? I'm going to raise some funds for March of Dimes Canada, which encourages campers living with disabilities.
Wicked, man.
The hashtag campers helping campers.
Can we play want to play a game?
Yes. In the spirit of camping.
Yeah.
We're going to play RV Telling the Truth.
RV Telling the Truth.
Brought to you in part by GoRV in Canada. RV.
Yes.
So it's very simple. It's like Lake or Fake, where you might remember several hours ago, several dozens of hours ago, we named a lake like Lake Ain't Ya Itchy, and you had to guess if it was a real lake or fake.
Yeah.
This is RV Telling the Truth, and it's very simple. We're going to give each other campground names, and all you have to do is guess if it's a real one or a fake one. RV Telling the Truth. Who's going first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
I love these games, yes. And I have a whole bunch, and I can't wait for all of them.
Okay. Logos Land Resort in Cobden. Logos Land Resort.
Like L-O-G-O?
Yeah. Logos Logo. Land. Yeah.
And is it apostrophe S, like Logo owns the land?
Yes. Yeah.
So Logo, like Lego and Lairdo, is maybe someone's nickname?
Well,
So it's Logos Possibly. Land. I'm going to say that. Yeah. I'm going to say you are telling the truth.
I am telling the truth, and you really broke that down like the spelling bee styles.
Big time. I had to work through it.
Yeah.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
Firefly Forest, Hampton, New Brunswick. Firefly Forest.
You are V telling the truth for sure.
Yeah, that's a real one.
That's a real one. I just feel that one.
Okay. Tied 1-1.
Okay. Fundy Spray Campground, Digby.
Are you telling the spray. Truth?
Fundy Spray Campground.
Like F-U-N-D-Y?
Yeah.
That's got to be a real one.
Yeah, it is.
Fundy Spray. The Bay of Fundy. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Gas City Campground. Medicine Hat. Gas City.
Gas City. That sounds real. I'm going to say that's real.
It is real.
That is real, right. Okay.
Do you have any fake ones or are yours all real?
Well, that's the whole point of the game, right?
All right.
Just getting off started here. Ready?
Yes.
Mike's Park.
Mike's Park?
Mike's Park in Tilden, Ontario. Mike's Park.
I'm going to go real.
It's not. That's fake.
Mike's Park?
Yeah.
That was brutal. It's so plain. It sounds real. Okay. Old McDonald's Resort, Erskine, Alberta. Old McDonald's what? Resort.
Old McDonald's Resort?
Yep.
That sounds real, bud.
That's real.
Yes.
Old McDonald, even an apostrophe, OL apostrophe. Mike's Park. Give me a break.
Okay. Noah's Ark Resort. Revelstoke.
No way. No way.
Noah's Ark. Come on.
No, that's fake.
That's real. That's a real one. Noah's Ark? Noah's Ark Resort in Revelstoke is legit.
Oh, it's getting good now.
That's not fake.
It's getting good. You stumped me the last two.
Yeah.
Sausage Farms, Country Resort and Camping, Okotoks, Alberta.
Sausage Farms. That sounds so ridiculous. Like the farm that has sausages.
Sausage Farms. Like, let's take two things that people love and combine it together.
That sounds fake.
Yeah, that is fake.
Yeah,
you're good fake. At this.
That's right.
Okay, hit me.
Batman's Cottages.
Okay, that or bat?
Batman's, like...
No way!
Like signal styles.
No way.
Batman's fake. Cottages, and it's in Manitoulin Island.
No way.
That's real, bud.
Come on!
Batman's Cottages Tent and Trailer Park in Manitoulin Island.
Oh my gosh.
Is legit. How about that?
Dang. I'm getting skunked.
I know.
Okay, here's a good one. Princess Park Campground. Princess Park, New Brunswick.
It's in Princess Park?
Yeah.
And it's called Princess Park? I mean, that sounds pretty real to me.
Dang, it is. Why are you so good at this?
Sourdough Pete's.
No way. Nope.
Sourdough Pete's RV Park in Peace River.
No.
That's real, bud. It's a real one.
Come on.
Yeah, that's real.
Sourdough Pete's?
Yeah.
Pelican Shores, Nanette, Manitoba.
Sounds real to me. It sounds like a nice spot.
Yeah, it's real. I got a couple coming down the pipe. There's no way you'll get them. You notice I threw away coming down the pee because I'm not sure if it's pipe or pike, and I think both are acceptable. So I just threw it away, like coming down the pike. Okay. What do you say?
Coming down the pike?
You say pike with a K?
Yeah, that's what I say. All right. What else is there?
Well, coming down the pipe with a
pipe? Oh, yeah, I guess. That sounds a little fake or not the same. Okay. Viking Tent and Trailer Park and Iron Bridge.
Spelling, please.
Viking, man. Like
Viking.
Like the legit folks.
No way. There's no way.
That's legit. That's a real one. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
Ponderosa Pines Campground. Lower Cape, New Brunswick. Ponderosa Pines.
That sounds real, bud.
That is real.
Sounds like... I wish that restaurant came back.
Ponderosa? Remember, kidding. It was the first place I ever saw grill marks.
Yeah, that was a fancy restaurant when I was a kid. My grandma and Papa Dog would take me out there and rip. Yep. He would always rip the steak tips.
I feel like they might have had like garlic toast and stuff there too.
Oh yeah, and they had the salad bar, which was like the big thing. That was the first salad
bar. Pizza Delight in Truro has a buffet. We've been threatening to go there because when you're 7, a buffet is awesome.
It is, yeah. Everything tastes the same. You're going to get
2 onion rings, a few gummy bears, and some Jell-O on the same plate.
Yeah. That's how they do it for sure. Garlic toast, gummy bears, and a splop of ice cream.
Yeah. Whipped cream, an egg roll, and spaghetti.
Okay, well, like, that's your 5-year-old one? I know. Do a 45-year-old guy who just finished a softball game. What is he getting?
Okay.
On his plate.
What kind of place is it? Is it like a Chinese buffet?
Well, yeah, just say like you said. So it's like a Frankie Tomatoes or whatever. So it's got a little bit of everything.
So sweet and sour chicken balls.
Yeah.
Macaroni salad.
Okay.
5 chicken wings. You know the tiny spring rolls?
Yeah.
Like a few of those to hand bomb.
Yeah. And he's eaten, like he fired 2 of them in while he was in the line.
While he's standing there, yeah, waiting for the hip of beef, because that's the only thing they serve.
Yeah.
And maybe a piece of garlic toast. And like a couple jalapeno poppers.
Yeah.
That might be it.
No vegetables or mashed potatoes or nothing?
No, nothing. Nothing like that. Maybe a roll.
A roll.
Okay, RV telling the truth. How many do you have left?
I got a couple.
Okay, hit me.
Paul Lake in Kamloops.
Like the guy's name? Paul?
Paul Lake. Like Gary Lake.
Well, it sounds like Mike's Park, so I'm going to say Paul Lake is not real.
Paul Lake is real in Kamloops.
That's what it's called?
Yeah, Paul Lake.
Okay, Rubber Ducky Resort and Campground, Warren, Manitoba.
Rubber Ducky?
Rubber.
Right.
Rubber Ducky Resort, Warren, Manitoba.
That sounds fake, bud.
That's real.
Oh, nice.
I got you on one. That's real.
You got me.
Let's do the speed round.
You're so psyched. It's real.
I got you. Do you have any left?
Yeah. Shoe Swap Lake Park.
That's got to be real.
Yeah, it's real. Kamloops.
Beaver Narrows, Omimi, Ontario.
So that's gotta be fake. That's a little bit borderline ridiculous.
That's real!
Oh, no way, is it?
Yep.
I could see.
And I'm saving my best for last. Okay. I have 3 good ones left. Do you have any left?
Yeah.
Okay, hit me.
Frank's Holiday Resort.
I feel like you're not even trying, so that's fake.
It's real, but in Chase, BC.
Come on!
Yeah. Frankie's.
Okay, you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Debonair Campground, St. Malo, Manitoba.
Debonair, like fans?
Yeah.
Like, that's like Paradise Tower styles?
Yeah, Debonair Campground.
That sounds real. I want it to be real.
It is real.
Yeah. Debonair. That's like the when you call down in the motel for the food, and you ask for the jalapeno poppers, and the guy's all, wonderful service.
Yes. Excellent choice, sir. Yes, of course. Perfect. Okay, last one for me.
All right.
Lost Lemon, Crow's Nest Past Alberta.
Lost Lemon. Sounds nice. I like that name. I'm going to say real.
Yeah, that's real. Dang, you're good at this.
It's a good name, though. Lost
Lemon. Lost Lemon, it's great.
Arm of Gold Campground.
Well, that's so weird. It must be real.
Yeah, and Bra-Door.
Is that
out by you?
I looked at some Bra-Door campgrounds because there are a few there. Yeah, it's in Cape Breton.
Yeah, that's probably nice, I bet.
Super nice. Beautiful. Cape Breton is beautiful in the summertime. We saw the Cape Breton summertime review with my good friend, Bette McDonald from Mr. D, and it was just charming and fun, and there are worse places to be in the summertime, that's for sure. But honestly, if you've never tried camping, even if it seems completely outside your wheelhouse, I was once like you, and it's just a solid hang. And these days, more than ever, we need ways to unplug and detach and get away. Go sit and stare at the night sky, light yourself a fire, or better yet, come join us at Silent Valley, Saturday, August 24th, Halloween at Silent Valley. RSVP, gorving.ca/taggart-and-torrens. It's going to be a fun night, buds.
Yeah, bring your masks, right?
BYOS. Yeah, BYOM and BYOS.
Yeah,
but you have to RSVP. You can't just bum rush the place. And we're psyched. We're going to play some tunes, tell some stories about the road, celebrate the lifestyle, get back to our wildhood, and best of all, raise some dough for March of Dimes. So yeah. All in all, an evening well spent.
It's going to be a good time, bud.
Take a break, bud.
I'll take a break, sure. All right.
Cocktail, please.
Breaking news in Taggart world. Tell the people Taggart your world, exciting news.
Well, we're going to talk some golf here. To start the golf talk, I want to recap on Taylor Pendrith, because remember we were playing with him a little while ago, just from good times with Mitch and Ryan Strom for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
And then, so Taylor's had, like, since then, 3 top fives and a win. His first win and the first Canadian to win on the PGA Tour Canada.
Crazy.
Since 2016. So good for Taylor. He's on the up and up, and this is his hopeful springboard to the Corn Ferry Tour in the States, and then eventually the PGA Tour, and then we get to watch him on the big stage.
It must be very strange at that level where 2 strokes can make all the difference in the world. And he's been close for a while now, right? But it just seems like everything's happening for him. He's in the pocket.
Yeah. Well, as the old Arkells would say, the knocking on the door factor.
Yeah,
just
for sure.
In the picture every day. Like, I remember I went out to see him here at Osprey Valley because he was, like, in contention, and he ended up, like, tied in the top 5 there, tied for second, or I think solo second, actually, there. And then out in Halifax, I was like, go see Pendy. He's going to win today. And he was, again, another top 5 finish there. And then he won in Edmonton.
Crazy.
So, and then another great finish, top five in Calgary. So he's just rocking. So I think he's probably, I think he's probably guaranteed at this point, the way he's playing, to get that card. So it's great.
And he crushes it, doesn't he, off the tee?
Yeah, he hits it 1,000 miles. So Ryan, Mitch, and Taylor and I were going to get together before Ryan has to get to New York to start throwing ropes with the Rangers, right? He's going to be gonzo. So we're going to get around and to celebrate his awesome summer with the broskies. So anyway, side note, I've been kind of cheering on Taylor. I got an email from Mike Kelly at Golf Ontario, and I read the email, and it's like, we'd like to invite you for an exemption for the Ontario Open, along with Daniel Alfredson and Damon Allen, to play in the Ontario Open, which is a classic historic golf event in Ontario. It's been going on for decades, and had winners like Mo Norman and Sam Snead, and so it's just a historic tournament. It's great to be asked to play, not unlike when Jerry D did the Osprey Valley Open with for the PGA Tour Canada
a few weeks ago. Yeah,
it's just an exemption to play with them. In my opinion, it's a guaranteed chance to play until the cut line, because this is playing with the big boys, and I'm certainly not one of them. So it'll be fun to just kind of be in the midst of that and just to experience a tournament like that, and just to help be a voice and then, kind of an ambassador from our world for golf, because it's a great game and it's fun to play. And this is a chance for me to kind of see what it's like for the pros.
In the spirit of managing expectations, is there any part of you that's like, I might win this thing?
not at all. Not
like,
a chance.
No part of you is like, you know what? Stranger things have happened. I haven't been playing well
lately. No. It's reality here. It's more about fun and just kind of hitting some good shots and just keeping up. I mean, my thing is, I'd love to, break 80. That would be great.
How likely is that?
That's kind of my own. What's that?
How likely is that?
Well, if I'm hitting it straight, which is a 50% chance, depending on how much I hit balls from here until then, it's not too far off. I could break 80 if I'm playing well. Yeah. So
how do you approach preparing for something like this?
I've just been trying to play more. I played yesterday. I'm hitting balls, if it doesn't keep raining here today. I try to hit balls every day, and that's all. Just trying to keep... All golf is for me is just like awareness of the club face. And if I can hit the ball square consistently, then I can, have fun and play well.
Are you nervous?
But the thing about that is, like, after 12, 13 holes, it's like I don't play golf all the time. So that's when stuff starts to go awry, when you're not feeling as athletic as with your swing, you're not as tight and strong. You start to loosen up a little, and that's when things can get bad. So it's about kind of trying to get your performance up, your athleticism up, flexibility, shit like that. The only things that I can kind of control.
Like, you get the sore back on 14?
Well, not even that. Just like wrist pain or stuff like that. Or like, I was wearing flip-flops for like 2 weeks, and like my left foot, there's like a bone in there that's like really sore. So walking or standing certain ways, or like all of a sudden that hurts. So it's like stupid stuff like that, that creeps in, where it's like, I'm just trying to hit a golf shot and shouldn't be thinking about like a pain in my foot or wrist.
You don't know who you're playing with yet?
No, but I think, well, I know Brian McCann's playing. He's a bud. He's a great player and a friend. Billy Walsh might be playing in it. So I might know some of the guys that are playing. Lego was supposed to play, but he's got an issue with his hip.
Really? So,
yeah, he's rehabbing his hip right now, so I'm not sure if he can play.
Dang.
But yeah, there'll be lots of guys playing. They'll be like, "What the hell are you doing here?"
Are you nervous about it?
No, I'm not nervous. I'm just like I said, all I have to do is just kind of try and get some stamina up a little bit. That's it, and then I'm fine. As long as I'm not like sore, I'm gonna have a good time. Again, see, I'm not worried about score. I'm just worried about like physical feeling and enjoying myself.
How many rounds are you guaranteed?
See, it's 3 days. I have to figure it out. I'm sure probably cut on the first day or maybe the second day. Either way, that's when I'm going home. Trunk slam on the seventh hole.
Is that what they call it, a trunk slam? When you're going home?
When you WD, when you withdraw from the tournament, a little trunk slam action.
Aww. Well, it's kind of nice that there's no pressure, no expectation.
No, right? Not. Why should there be? Honestly, if I thought I was going to have a chance to win, that's pretty crazy and in my opinion, very ignorant, to be honest. It's like if I see someone who plays golf once every 5 years and they hit 2-3 shots and they start getting really mad, like, oh, come on. That to me is a sign of like, come on, how you really, you're upset that you can't hit the golf ball 200 yards like you see on TV? you're mad about that when you've only played once in the last 3 years? Like, think about that statement. That's like going on camera and trying to be Al Pacino for 10 minutes, or at least one line, like acting like an actor.
Why won't you be nervous on the first tee?
I don't know, because I think I probably play better if I'm worried that way. You know what I mean? Like, that might make me think of not making mistakes as much. I make mistakes when I get too relaxed and think about nothing, of like when I'm just like not thinking athletically or not thinking about flexibility or not thinking about hitting the shot. I just start, you know, I'll just hit, pretend I'm John Daly, like how he looks when he hits it and it's all fluid and easy. If I think that way, it's ball's just gone. It's not going to, I have to try and think of pulling my head to the top and being very super tall. And that's hard for me to do because I'm a slouchy type person.
I always found the first tee the worst, no matter who I was playing with, no matter what was at stake.
Yeah. Well, if there's 10 people even watching, I'm trying to be more aware of that stuff. So, yeah, I think I have a better chance of hitting it with people looking than not.
That's crazy, man. That's good for you. It's important to be open to new experiences and challenge yourself and put yourself out there, you know?
Yeah, I do that a lot, I think. I mean, especially with you, where you're very, when, you know, to speak about certain things or host or remember stuff, like you're so good at that, and I'm not. So I throw myself into that all the time in regard to broadcasting in a sense. It's and it similar to like when we did the audiobook, it took me 4 days and you did it in like the 4 hours, you know. It's that the difference of my I'm not Bill Clinton when it comes to stopping and making mistakes and words and stuff like that. I'm the complete opposite. So it's,
I know, but that's, you've learned a lot. And it's second nature to me because I've done it for so long. But I have been putting myself out there in physical, kind of manual, labor-y ways. And that feels really satisfying, too.
Yeah, Well, that's growth in any way. That's why I like it, I think. I like putting myself out there to learn, because that's all that's going to happen is I'm going to learn. I'm not going to... Failing is only the people watching's problem, because I'm not feeling failure. I'm just feeling trying to achieve something.
Right.
You know? So, big difference, I think.
It's a lot the of Kurt people... Browning factor. When Kurt Browning hosts a TV show, if he's not great... It's like, well, yeah, but it's Kurt Browning. But if he's great, there's much more to be gained in a way, because people will be like, wow, you know who's really good on camera? Kurt Browning. Who knew?
Yeah. Well, that's it. It's also about, like you said, learning and being just kind of letting it happen, as opposed to how the internet is. Like, someone will do something and one person will talk shit about it and they'll all of a sudden take that to heart. As opposed to, like, getting past it and just kind of learning, just like everything else in life. Did somebody come up to a person when they're learning cursive for the first time and start chirping them how they did the first ones, then they stopped, you know? Like, it's really difficult to be verbal and be a person trying to make form or give an opinion on camera or even on social media without the backlash. And the backlash is what kills a lot of that. It's really pointless if you think about it, because all of those people saying those things aren't you, so how the hell could they know anything really about what they're saying?
You know. The internet's dumb.
Yes, but I'm talking about when people are just trying to be themselves and just try new things, and not a person who's being negative or talking crap on other things. Just people who are just trying to create content, and it's no different than being in school. And there's always going to be that kid who just chirps you for no reason, and it just kind of backfires, and it turns a person off what they're doing. It's really a bummer. People have to not listen to that stuff.
Let me tell you something, bro. Every time you point a finger, there are three fingers pointing back at you.
Yeah, I know.
So if people are taking issues with something that you're doing, it's because they secretly wish they could do it.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. Like, people will say it's negative stuff that they're just saying because they don't like you. And it's completely insane to be, when everybody's just trying to walk the earth and breathe and be alive, and yet there's people that are out there that are willing to sacrifice that experience to try and down, you know, take others down. It's just like, what? What? You realize, what's the point of trying to create hell on a place that can only be great, you know? And so in the idea of, you know, when you're born and walking and breathing as opposed to not being there.
I was saying this about you the other day. I can't even remember to who. It might have been Carol. That you are very positive. And you're a good person to be with when, like, say a flight to Nanaimo gets canceled. Or something happens that you didn't expect. Because you're like, whatever. You have a very healthy perspective on what is a big deal and what isn't a big deal.
I think that happens with going through a lot of bad stuff. And early on in my life, when bad things happened, it did impact me and it would make me feel a certain way. And then even being young in the band and hearing shitty reviews like over and over, just because when you're popular, that's how it happens. I got used to that too. I know I was always that person in the band. If something went wrong, I'd be like, so. I think it's guaranteed to be my dad. Like, how hearing him and how aggressive he was over, you know, as a kid. I was like, well, that's not angry, that's not upsetting, that's not bad. This was bad, you know what I mean, in terms of situation being out of hand. And his anger was always worse than the situation. So I got used to, if a situation happened, that anger didn't happen, so who cares, man? So, you know, it's a weird thing, but without him reacting in that way, it wasn't as effective to me. Nothing was as scary or as upsetting, or you know what I mean?
Interesting. So that was a muscle you developed in reaction to him being exceedingly angry.
Yeah.
For like sure. You just get to a cool place.
That's why I'll laugh sometimes when people are really angry at me. Then I'm sorry that it happens, but it's happened where it makes me laugh because I'm like, you're not even angry. Are you kidding right now? Is this a joke? When it makes, obviously they get more angry, but when it has nothing to do with their perspective, they're like, I'm really mad and he's laughing. So what's going on?
It just makes them more mad.
Yeah. You know, so, but I thought, you know, because, you know, in my mind, when I was a kid, anger, it was undeniable. It wasn't just yelling, you know. It was like everything was being affected. The volume, stuff was getting thrown, you know.
But it also doesn't.
It was also the words. The words were really sharp and like cutting.
Were they?
Yeah.
Specific insults?
Well, specific to the situation, and yeah, awful. Like, just the worst. That's the worst, when every line is just like, oh, come on, man. How are you supposed to get up?
But don't you
that?
Just tune out to that after a while?
Yeah. Well, it took me a long time. It wasn't until I was in my 20s that I realized it was him he was angry at the most. I always used to think he was okay and mad at everybody because they weren't in his position, but it was like, no, it's the complete opposite. He hated himself so much that he was just trying to destroy everything around him verbally.
Wow.
You know? But it took a while for me to think that he was on, like, he wasn't on some high horse. He was off it, you know? Big difference.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Why do you think he was so angry?
I think he was probably, there was probably a chemical imbalance because he started taking medication when he was older. So I don't know if he was manic, but, you know, an element of maybe manic / bipolar, because if he was upset, it was like the worst. And I know he had a tough upbringing. His dad was a severe alcoholic, beat up his mom in front of him, like, yikes, on Friday nights. But he was like the nicest, most sweet person when he wasn't drinking, and then became a monster. So he had to deal with that.
Yikes, and then
his older brother was an asshole that was kind of a bully. So that he had that in old Scotland, and then in New York, and rough and tumble friends and all that stuff. So I don't know. I think he just had a real hard edge, but was probably just dealt with a lot of stuff early on and never had a chance to understand it or vent it properly, you know?
But he didn't resent you kids or any of that stuff, did he?
No, but he had massive issues with anger, period, you know? It wasn't like, so, like I said, there wasn't resentment, because if he was just resenting us and could have done something that he really wanted to do, it wasn't that. It was just this kind of self-hatred, because anytime he was trying to do something that he was accomplishing that he was really good at, whether it be art or stories or writing or whatever things he was working on, he was always in a positive mood, and then he would end up kind of destroying that and by wrecking the thing that he was working so hard on. That was the first thing that would happen, and that would just be like it's all self wounds, you know what I mean? Just trying to, you know, what's the worst thing you can do to yourself? I don't know, work on something for 6 months and then destroy it.
Like, yeah, like who does that teach a lesson to?
Put your heart and soul into something and then wreck it continually? Like, yikes. It's not a good cycle.
Not a good cycle. And even with things like his drums, never touching them again.
Yeah, when he's
like destroying them. That is an admirable commitment to your own anger. Right? Yeah. Most people, no matter how angry you get, after a couple hours or even a couple of days, you'll be like, don't even really remember what that was about. But never touch drums again? Like, that requires energy and effort.
Yeah. Well, no, it's, well, and it's continual, right? Like, hey, for him, it was kind of a two-sided sword in a way, because when he did stop that, he did have a full-time job, so there was always that, like, well, I have security now, but I could have been doing this thing that makes me feel better and I'm good at. So I'm sure that was a continual struggle that didn't help. But like I said, he started doing other things and he was really good at. Drums was just one of them. So
yeah, he's quite an artist, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a lot of
Did
different
things. Did you happen to watch the exchange between Anderson Cooper and Steve Carell?
I just kind of glanced by it. It was something about loss, right?
Yeah. Sorry, not Steve Carell. Steve...
Colbert,
yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Anderson Cooper was saying... And I'm recapping in a way that doesn't do it justice. But Stephen Colbert has apparently said in his life he has learned to love the worst moments that have ever happened to him. And Anderson Cooper was like, do you really mean that when you say that? It's worth watching. I think it's 7 minutes, this exchange. Mm-hmm. And Colbert's like, yeah, being alive is a privilege. And once you accept that, all the good and the bad of life is just part of the deal. So it's not saying you have to think it was the best thing that ever happened, but part of accepting what life is and that it's a privilege to be here is knowing that bad things are going to happen, and those are in contrast to the good things. And he was so candid and forthcoming and articulate. It was really an interesting exchange, because it is something that we don't talk a lot about publicly. And both those guys just let their masks down for a minute, and it was really cool.
Yeah, no,
he's a smart guy. There's a guy who had major grief early on in his life, right? Colbert, and again repeatedly.
Yeah, no, it's he's a still waters run deep type for sure.
Yeah.
Because he's one of the first guys ever in history to successfully portray a character that it's a bit, yet he could still get really great interviews. You know, and
yeah, it was relentless.
But to the point where he kind of created a genre, but a perspective that was never really there. Like, they had the Bill Maher's and the Dennis Miller's in previous times that would just kind of tell jokes around issues, but he actually would just become this, like, D-bag that somehow, like, sold that to just in such a perfect way to uncover a lot of bad stuff that's been going on, you know?
Just to be that guy. Yeah. It's funny because now, more than ever, that character would be timely. Have you been watching the Jimmy Kimmel dildo stuff?
Not really, but I've because it's happened so many times in television that I'm like, really? Another town with a thing? I love that it's getting press and everything. And I'm like, I feel like this might have happened before a few times on radio. Right? Like,
yeah, I'm sure
some American station starts stirring it up, and no way, there's not a place called Dildo, is there? And then boom.
I know.
So what's going on? Has it turned I'm sure it's been good for tourism.
Yeah, I'm sure. The jump off point is pretty base, right? Yeah. Town named Dildo, blah, blah, blah. And of course, that's in Kimmel's kind of wheelhouse, that kind of joke. Yeah. But this is the wonderful thing. He has been interviewing people from the town on his show like a few nights this week that I've seen internet. Yeah. And aside from the jumping off point being kind of like an eye roll, the people of Dildo are so likable and charming and comfortable in their own skin and not ashamed of who they are and where they come from. They just own it in such a way that it trumps all aspects of the juvenile joke.
Well, it's like it's the same smart level of humor of the Gone Cookies, you know, with the, like, I'm sure they've heard it a zillion times when they walk, oh yeah, go on ahead with you, have a laugh, right? Like, yep. And then they'll just start tearing you apart with, like, generational jokes that are, like, so cutting, right?
And so much funnier than anything that your Hollywood writers could write. Yeah. But the funny thing is, they came for the joke, and it's like, and then we fell in love with the people and the place and all of it. Like, that's you can't good. Help it. That's so good. It's a good look for the town of Dildo, and Jimmy paid to erect a sign that was like the Hollywood sign up in the hills of Dildo,
yeah,
overlooking the harbor.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a sweet story. It started as a bit of an eye roll, but it's really
that's good.
I it's really it. Kind of come full circle.
Nice, I like that.
Do you know what I mean?
By the way, here's a last minute breaking news update that happened this morning. Because remember Rebel and when my mom's dog Dolly, I took it from Barry and I had it here for a night.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I mentioned on the pod that Rebel kept jumping on her. I think I did. That Rebel kept mounting, trying to mount Dolly.
Yeah.
And he did. He did. They actually got it on that night, and now Rebel's got 5 babies with Dolly.
No.
They're born this morning. Yes, 5 puppies. Little Rebels. Dolly Rebels. Yes. Dolly, who's a Shih Tzu, like Shih Tzu poodle. And Rebel, who's a Pomeranian Chihuahua. There's 5 little Rebby dollies.
And come on. Like, what are you going to do with them?
Well, Michelle, who's a good friend of ours, she's, you know, happy to have them, and they've had dogs before, so I think they'll definitely find homes. I'm just not sure who, what, when, and where. Like, I think we might take one because it's a little Rebsy. There's a little white one. I don't know.
No, we'll you're see. Gonna take it.
Well, it's just crazy. It's just such a crazy story how it all kind of came around. You know,
it's kind of sweet. Cycle of life stuff.
Isn't that classic? So aww. Little Rebs is his pops, and he's like, apparently he's there because we're back and forth from the cottage and camping and stuff like that. So, Rebel's with Michelle and Dolly, so he's been like hanging out there, and he's like been all quiet this today, like just kind of watching, like, and normally he's yappy and crazy, but he's just like acting like he's just like, you know, wow, what's going on over there?
Give that dog a cigar. He's a dad.
Yeah, Rebs made it. Pops, Rebs, and Dolly's all settled. It was like, she was kind of crazy before because, like, the situation with my dad and my mom going into long-term care. So she's been having a really crazy spring, so she's all settled down a lot, living in this new environment.
Oh, my gosh.
And by the way, I saw my mom last week. She's awesome. She's doing great in her place in Barrie.
Good.
She's going to be, well, she helps out now. She, like, folds bibs at dinner and, like, sweeps up in the barber shop. So she actually, she's always been very social. So this is an opportunity for her to be very, you know, social to all the people there. And she loves it as opposed to sitting in her apartment with the dog, you know. So she's having a really good time there. It's a great place. She's at Roberta Place in Barrie. It's a beautiful facility. The people are really nice. The food's great. So it's, I don't know. I don't think sometimes the long-term care gets a bit of a bad rap. I got to say, this is a situation which is 100 times better than where she was. And the staff there is fantastic. So shout out to them. And my mom is doing great, so all good.
Babies just goes to show, bud.
Good times. Yeah, good times.
And no matter how hard the boat gets rocking in your life, it will always stabilize. There are always smoother seas ahead.
Yep, definitely.
Amen.
Yeah, buds.
Good chatting, bud. I'll see you at Silent Valley. Can't wait for Halloween spooky night. Woo. Thanks to the friends at Go RV in Canada.